mentioned this before, but when I was a Baptist minister just up the road in Rushden, I was asked to conduct the funeral of the former matron of the local hospital. It housed essentially geriatric patients. And although she was not a member of any church, this lady had apparently been brought up as a Baptist. Well, at least she'd attended the Sunday school of one of the local Baptist churches. And so I was asked to take the funeral. As I talked with the bereaved, a story unfolded of a spinster who had given all her love and compassion to those for whom she cared. The frail, the sick, the incontinent, the disabled, the often bad-tempered and confused elderly patients of the cottage hospital. I could get no clear picture of her faith, but in our Bible passage, she would have been characterized by Martha. And in the preceding parable, she would have been characterized by the Good Samaritan, the parable that we looked at last week. The account of Mary and Martha in this passage may look dangerously like justification for sitting down in personal contemplation of the words of Jesus and doing nothing, worshipping in church on a Sunday, yet failing to let the gospel preached, sung, and prayed for shape the rest of our lives. So we're looking at evangelism and social concern. I was invited to preach on this theme at Spurgeon's College, London. It's the Baptist college which has the strongest emphasis on evangelism, on preaching, and it's pretty strong amongst all the colleges. Probably the closest Anglican college would be Oak Hill in London. I was aware of the tension that arises when discussing the mission of the church between saving souls and serving the world in need. And so when I stood up to preach, knowing I was in the tension in this particular college, and I think I was invited there for this reason, for me to be tense, not for the congregation. And I said I was going to preach on one word in the title I'd been given. And that word was "and." The parable of the sheep and the goats that Jesus tells declares that those who are destined for eternal life are the sheep. They're the ones who he says, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." When the sheep, the righteous, declare that they have no knowledge of having served Jesus in this way, he says, well, it's the way that you have served your fellow human beings. The goats, in contrast, have not shown any loving care for their fellow human beings. The nature of the gospel is the challenge that we have to our relationship with Christ and also his mission to and for the world. And it is on that action that judgment is based. A gospel that doesn't show itself in the reality of Christ-like living is no gospel at all. And this comes from our relationship with Christ. As the Apostle James writes in his letter to the church, right belief without right action is like a body without a spirit. It's lifeless. The heart of Christianity is a relationship with Jesus, which shows itself in loving, sacrificial care for others, in particular the poor and the needy. We're all accountable for our lives. All of us will be judged, and there'll be no excuses, and it will be perfectly fair. There will be a division which I suspect is likely to present some of us with surprises. Scripture will not allow us to separate evangelism and social concern in our Christian discipleship. But let's return to Martha and Mary. Martha is busy as the hostess. She's preparing refreshments for Jesus and his disciples, and no doubt anybody else who's turned up to listen to Jesus' teaching. And we know, don't we, how she feels. Hard done by and ignored, slaving away in the kitchen, while Mary enjoys herself, sitting, listening to Jesus. And so in exasperation, Mary says to Jesus, "Can you please do something? Intervene on my behalf. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Jesus responds, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." But then we should take care when we read that. We should be careful how we interpret this exchange. The parable of the Good Samaritan has already shown us that addressing the need of the injured victim of robbery is far more praiseworthy than going to worship in the temple. Neither Mary nor Martha are to be criticized here. We are called to follow the example of Jesus, to deny self, to take up the life of sacrificial cross-shaped love, and to follow Jesus. It is a life of righteousness that will be seen in deeds and in listening to Jesus' words. The deeds are not religious rituals. They're acts of mercy and loving kindness. And so Jesus points to two kinds of listening. He says, there are two kinds of life. There's listening, or there is listening and doing. And that's to be seen to be like building on a rock or building on sand. One leads to catastrophe and the other to safety, which Luke has already recorded for us earlier on. Mary is paying attention to Jesus so as to learn what following means, which is vital. Whereas Martha has already grasped that following Jesus means serving people's needs. Both are vital, and the one should lead to the other. Because you see, there is knowing what God requires, and there is knowing and doing what God requires. So we need to be living out what we hear in God's word and what we believe. It is, as the former Bishop of Durham, Tom Wright, would urge us, to live as if Christ had already returned. Living in a way where the gospel influences our lives by the activity of God's Spirit within us. An approach that will transform our lives and guide us to live sacrificial, cross-shaped lives, which look to the needs of others. We live, don't we, as those who know that the current reality of this world challenges our God-given responsibility to our neighbours, both local and global. So we recognise that it is believing and doing. It is listening and serving. In his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul states that by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, says Paul, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Saved through faith, but created for good works. So what do we think about Mary and Martha? Jesus commends Mary for sitting and listening and tells Martha not to worry about all the jobs she is doing. Jesus concludes that Mary has chosen what is better. However, this apparent suggestion that the best thing to do is to be in church listening to God's word and not out and about doing good works is contradicted in the previous parable about the Good Samaritan, where here, Jesus, being asked, "Who is my neighbor?" tells the story of the one who shows the love of Christ through generous help offered to another. And here Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." So, we are not presented with an either-or, nor that one way of expressing our faith in Christ is better than another. Martha and Mary represent two aspects of following Jesus: listening and acting. We listen, we learn, and we act accordingly. We seek to follow Jesus' summing up of the whole law. We love God with heart, soul, and mind. So we pay close attention to God's word and Jesus' example. We sit and listen. And we love our neighbour as ourselves. We see the needs of others and act with generous, selfless love. St. Francis said, "Do all you can to preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And the deeds that you may do may be the only sermon that some people will ever hear today." Pope Francis, following in St. Francis' footsteps, said that we need to hear the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. He says, "I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security." And perhaps more apposite today, in this country, he said, "Migrants and refugees are not pawns on the chessboard of humanity. They are children, women, and men who leave or are forced to leave their homes for various reasons. They need our compassion and care." In the words of the BB prayer, "Give us courage in difficulty, faithfulness in duty, loyalty in friendship, and finally, by thy mercy, bring us into thine everlasting kingdom." So, let us from today commit ourselves to first being Mary, and then, in response to hearing Jesus, being Martha.